Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Well, it's automatic. It's systematic. Hydromatic. Why, it's Grease Lightning! Okay, well, hey, lift that in 4 quad barrels. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Grease Lightning.
Start it over.
You got one line
way
out.
Way to go, Adolfo.
This is going to be your audition on Sunday.
I know, but there's not like four voices screaming at me when I'm auditioning.
Here we go.
Well, it's automatic. It's systematic. Hydromatic. Why, it's Grease Lightning. We'll get overhead lifter and dual quad barrels. Oh, yeah. Grease Lightning. Go. Cut fuel, jet to cut up, and a chrome plated rod. Gotta get the money, I care to get the money. When the forces hit the floor, you know that we win at the door. You know there ain't no S when we get up the T's. And Grease Lightning.
Where's the dancing?
Go Grease Lightning, you burn up a quarter mile. Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning. Go Grease Lightning, you cruise on a heat lap trial. Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning. They'll make them cream. Grease Lightning.
By the way, those lyrics were written out for him. He wasn't weird. Doing it off the top of his head.
No, lyrics be damned.
He was having some trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. Do you want to get to this farting guy?
No. We don't do that. We'll hold on to that.
There was a guy who...
I mean, do you, we can. I mean, we have a couple minutes. Yeah, it's worth it just for a couple minutes. So there was a dude who was hired by... what company did he work for?
He was a security guard. I'm not positive what company. And what happened is he started taping every time he farted.
It was a Florida hospital he worked at. And just he got bored because there would be times where no one was there. And he, every time he had to pass gas... He recorded a video of himself and made like a montage.
But the reason he started doing it is because he said that the acoustics of the place were fantastic.
He ended up...
he made a 6-minute montage of his farts. And apparently, like on Reddit and stuff, he was this big star.
They called him Paul Flart.
Yeah,
he was
Paul
like a security
Flart.
Guard. They gave him this nickname. And he just continued to do it over and over whenever he could sneak one in. And Fred and I had the same reaction. Like, I only made it like 30 seconds into it, and which was probably about like, you know, 12, like a dozen of his farts. But like, he makes this face, and I'm like, ooh, this is just really not
pleasant. Yeah, he's got like a mustache, and yeah. He just like looks like super dirty.
Right, it's like nightmare stuff. However, the hospital found out because
Wait,
this thing.
Real quick, though, like, okay, so the hospital is about to fire him, but to add on to that, he's like, you know, I'm really hot right now. So, now's the time to make merchandise and see how far this thing can go. It's like, dude, you made a 6-minute clip of you farting.
Do your own reality show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, after this guy, this thing went viral, his boss at the hospital calls him in, and this guy knows he's basically going to get fired. So, what he does is he busts out his cell phone and starts recording himself walking out to talk to the guy who's about to fire him. So, this is the audio of... this gentleman being fired for once
Paul
again.
Paul Flart.
Make Paul Flart making a compilation video of himself farting over the period of, like, several months.
And they're saying it's not the farts that are the problem. They're saying that it's a videotaping in the hospital.
Well, let's take a listen.
So we're going live, about to get fired from my job, probably. Let's find out. What's going on?
Not much. Listen, we need to talk, man.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of pissed off people here.
Okay.
Okay. What are you doing with your phone?
I'm recording, sir.
Why are you recording?
Because.
Take it off.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
You're not going to record me wearing that uniform.
I'm not recording you, sir. I'm recording me, sir.
Okay. You can turn it off.
Okay. Well, so you're firing me anyway, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so I'm going
to
keep.
You need to turn it off.
I don't. If you're going to fire me, I'm done.
Okay.
So I can just walk out of here right now, and then if that's it.
Okay.
I mean, if you guys are going to fire me, like, what's. Okay.
Well, you do realize that you're on a client's property.
Yeah.
Wearing our uniform. 100%.
I'm not going to argue the facts of you getting, you know.
That's one thing. Now, again, it's come to our attention that you've recorded yourself in our uniform on the client's property.
Never showing any logos or anything, though.
I'm not going to argue with that. That's fine, attorney.
That's fine.
Here's your write-up.
Okay.
You can read it. If you want to dispute it, there's plenty of room down here or on the back side that I left for you.
Okay.
Okay? So if you want to dispute it, that's fine. I have asked you to stop recording. You're refusing. So what I need you to do is go ahead and read that.
Okay. Can I not see this?
No.
Okay. An unusually high amount of time. Okay.
I think 75 times would account as
3-second video stuff?
He recorded 75 different instances. Oh, that video, I didn't, once again, I only watched about a dozen of them, had to turn it off. But it goes on for 75 different times.
Yeah, 75 times, and you wonder what's wrong with him. After some of them.
I just remember the guy goes, "Yeah, you need to turn that off." He's like, "Are you going to fire me anyway?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I'm not going to turn it off."
I'm not turning it off anyway. Why should I do one thing you want me to do?
I think 75 times would account as
3-second video, so?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
75 times using something that you knew that you shouldn't be using.
Okay. So, I mean, that's fine. All right.
Do you wish to sign?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's irrelevant, you know, at this point, for sure.
Okay. Good luck.
That's it?
Yep.
We're all done here?
Yep.
That's it. We lost the job, guys. That's it.
I need the badges, please.
Yeah, sure. You can have this. I'll drop the shirts off to George.
Stop recording while you're on this property.
I'm just going to leave the property.
That's fine.
That's fine.
But
so
stop recording now.
Okay.
While you're off the property. You're off the property.
All right. So that's it, guys.
You are on private property.
That's it. We're done. Call Flight will continue in the future. Please stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
I'm asking
you. Appreciate all of you. We're done, brother.
Paul Flart will continue.
Oh,
can you imagine? Yes, when he gets his next job. Can you imagine when he calls to get references?
Yeah.
Well, we did have a problem with this gentleman. Oh, was he late for work? Did he, not show up on time? No, he filmed himself farting 78 times and then put it on the internet.
Paul Flart will continue in the future. Please.
He really believes that, like, this is going to keep going.
Like, I wonder if there's a GoFundMe to just have him go into places and do that.
I think once you've had 75 videos of yourself farting, you pretty much hit a wall.
Well, do you remember that one guy who we had on the show for a minute? And No. Right after it happened, I reached out to the guy, and the guy kind of big-timed us. It was the dude who threw the adult toy onto the field during the Buffalo Bills game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what happened after that was that he started making T-shirts, like, I'm that guy. And, of course, after that, nobody heard from him again. He wanted to make a big business out of being, like, one moment at a football game.
Yeah, he was going to go down in history.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the internet's a wonderful thing. Okay, Troy is not confirmed yet.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right, so...
So we may have Troy Brown on here, if not, 9:20 possibly? We can move things around?
Yeah, we can do Rappaport.
Okay. So if you didn't hear it on Friday, we had a little bit of incident with Michael Rappaport. Now, Michael Rappaport had a podcast recording that he did on Saturday night. If anyone went there, I would like to hear a report, because apparently people were sending me StubHub things that day it was like $7 for a ticket.
Yeah,
right,
I saw that. Yeah, like 5 rows away.
All I know is that Wiggy was there, so it must have been a star-studded event.
In that case,
yeah. So
it was a red carpet and everything.
So you'll hear the whole setup, but I mean, we have had Michael Rappaport on before, and things
went badly.
Yes.
So this happened again on Friday.
Yeah. This was on Friday.
Excellent.
Friday.
All right.
We'll have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5. 95.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Tucker and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. You know Michael Rappaport from his many movie roles. The Tribe Called Quest documentary. But he also has a podcast, I Am Rappaport. Stereo Podcast Live. That's going on tomorrow night at the Wilbur Theater. For info and tickets, visit thewilbur.com. Michael Rappaport, hello, sir.
How you doing, man?
We are doing well. Esoteric is a big fan of yours.
I'm a big fan of his, big fan of Czarface and all his music. So I'm it's mutual respect. I'm looking forward to actually meeting him tomorrow night in Boston.
Okay, Michael. So yesterday I tweeted out that you were going to be on the show. And within probably 5 minutes, we received almost 30 tweets just in that short amount of time, not including the stuff on our Instagram. And I think it would only be fair if I read you each one of the messages that we got when we announced that you were coming on the show. Is it okay if I read you a few of these?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Dude, love you guys, but Rappaport is trash. Hard pass. Rappaport is the worst of the worst. He also got canned by Barstool. Yes, Rappaport is a downright idiot. Well, Michael Rappaport is an overflowing human garbage bag. Hard pass in that interview. Catch you guys after the fact. Hey, ask the so-called king of blank talking why he blocks anyone who blank talks him on Twitter. And you guys might want to wipe down the studio afterwards. I heard he has a terrible case of herpes.
That's not true.
Rappaport, thanks for giving your audience the day off. Hard pass in the no-talent jackass you have on at 740. Better off putting Sarge songs on loop for 20 minutes. F Michael Rappaport, 740 will be the first time ever I shut off this program. Must miss radio. Rappaport is such a herb. I don't know what that means. Hey, look, it's fake tough guy, Michael Rappaport. Just like Rappaport's acting career, his studio presence is going to be a pile of feces. Hey, Rap, where'd you get that sweet sore on your lip? And they go on and on and on.
Not very popular in Boston.
Yeah, we'll see tomorrow night because we got a lot of people coming to the show. And I can't wait to play Boston. And any of those people that sent those tweets out, feel free to reach out to the station. I'll put you in the front row, and you're invited to come on the stage and recite your tweets right there in front of the audience.
All right.
Really? Any one of those people that, any one of those five or six people that you just jotted the names off to, invite them to the show, front row seats. They could come and see if they'll read their tweets.
If you want to be a front row, if you want to get a front row seat to Michael Rappaport's podcast tomorrow,
just so you can
S talk to them.
No, don't incite anything.
Well, you just did. You just made the offer.
No, I made an offer to the people that you just read the tweets of.
Okay, so the 30 people that tweeted something negative.
Well, it's been 30. It's been way more than that. That was just within the first 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, God. So, but if those people, you're inviting them to be in the front row just so they can heckle you?
They could do it. No, they could come on stage and read their tweets.
Now, what happens from there?
I'm just, hey, listen, it's a live show. It's an impromptu show.
No, you're having Jermaine Wiggins there?
Hold on. Are you coming to the show or are you just trying to break balls?
No, listen, we have to, this is what our listeners think. They didn't want you to come on this morning, so we thought, to be fair to them, we would address this with you.
The thing is that it was
But now I'm talking to you. I'm asking you, are you coming to the show?
No, I've got other things to do.
No, I can't go.
What are you doing tomorrow night?
I'm going out of town.
I am going to the a festival in Worcester.
What are you going to, the Cape?
Yep.
What's funny about that?
It's very stereotypical.
You have a fountain.
What do you mean?
You have a fountain at your house.
Yeah, so?
So, I mean, you're busting on someone for going to Cape Cod. I mean, it's like that's like a bougie thing. I mean, the fountain's kind of bougie.
Have you seen the fountain in my house?
Yes.
Where have you seen it?
On the internet.
What does it look like? How big is it?
Why are you asking these questions? He said he saw a fountain. What does it matter?
I mean, it's
because I think you didn't see the fountain at my house.
Oh, well, then I guess he's a liar.
I mean, it's not like at the Luxor or something. I mean, but it's...
But you said you saw the fountain at my house.
I did.
Yes.
Okay, so what does it look like? Is there a guy or a woman in the middle of the fountain?
There's not either.
What's in the middle of the fountain?
A dead cat.
That's right. That's how I know about it, is because of the dead cat thing.
Damn, you guys jock other people. Like, if you're supposed to be like a radio dude, don't you have like your own thing?
No. We
prefer jocking. Okay, so real quick, Michael, because the one thing that we do have to address, too, is that the reason that most of these people don't like you is it sounds like because of how you were fired from Barstool Sports. Now, can you talk about what the scenario was and why you got fired?
No, I actually cannot.
Why?
Talk about that.
Why?
I just cannot talk about that.
Why?
I'm going to say it one more time, and then as you being a professional, you're going to read between the lines, and I'll say, I cannot talk about that.
All right,
that.
So it's like you're in litigation.
No, I didn't say any of that. I just said, I cannot talk about that.
Okay, well, then I'll just read what's
been... But as a guest of the show that came on to promote a performance tomorrow, do a drop for my show like you do. Like, be a professional. And where am I performing tomorrow?
I'll drop you.
All right, jackass.
All right, but anyway, caller number 10 and 11 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985.
We'll
score
of that.
A pair of tickets to see I Am Rappaport, Stereo Podcast Live, tomorrow night at the Wilbur Theater. For info and tickets, visit thewilbur.com.
You're awesome.
We gave him a chance.
You guys are awesome.
First of all, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about his beefs except that I read up on it last night, but I mean, and I understand his personality, but
ooh, he's calling back.
Is I don't want to talk to him anymore.
No, put him on. I'll only talk to him if he addresses the Barstool incident. That's it. Put him on.
Go ahead.
No, just Nick, put him on.
All right, he's putting him on right now.
Okay,
we gave away the tickets. Hello, Michael.
Did we get cut off?
Yeah, we did. We only want to talk to you if you'll address the Barstool incident.
You have me on your. I told you I can't talk about it. So you mean to tell me you have a guest on your show, but you won't do the drop for why I came on the show?
You see, that's why.
No,
we
I did.
Up.
I yeah, gave away yeah. tickets.
We did. We gave away tickets.
For what?
For callers, like caller 10 and 11.
No, but what did you give away tickets for?
Your show. The girl who books the Wilbur is a good friend of mine, so I'm not trying
to... And where's the show?
The Wilbur.
And you be...
Why do you always ask home? These questions to clarify things?
Stop asking questions.
Oh, I'm the guest.
Yeah, and we're the hosts. Hang up on this jackass.
Let me explain how you treat guests. Let me explain how you treat guests.
Please, explain it to us.
When you have a guest come on your rinky-dinky show...
There you go. I mean, now it's enough. Now with the insults. And by the way, we did not have Rappaport on to hang up on.
We didn't. No. That was not the plan, but you've started doing...
No.
But
you guys had stuff to talk about, legit.
No, but you can't, right. There's a ton to talk about. Yeah. He doesn't like Simmons, who I don't particularly like. He doesn't...
Yeah, like, I just thought that, and by the way...
He called Levitard a racist, which is, like, the weirdest thing in the world. Because, like, Levitard is, like...
And the fact that he's incredulous, and listen, I'm no, like, you know, massive defender of Barstool Sports.
Well,
I like a lot of their writers.
He knows why
But I mean, what happened with that is that he, like, ripped on their fans for, like, you know, calling themselves stoolies. I'm like, that's like getting hired by In-N-Out Burger and then going on, like, line and saying, F anyone who eats at In-N-Out Burger. Like, you took their money.
Right.
You took their money and then
the problem is that, like, don't, like, start. I understand the shtick, but don't start immediately questioning the show and you know, saying how the interview is supposed to go. I mean, it would have been interesting if he was at all honest and took, you know, any of those questions.
But then he just, like his whole shtick is that he just asks you questions repeating himself.
No, the thing is that I didn't want to have to hang up on him, but I had to hang up.
Well, we didn't want, but at that point, it's just like, all
well,
right.
Well, no, I hung up on him first. You weren't the one who wanted him back on.
Well, I said because I find the Barstool thing interesting, and I only want to talk to
him. He's obviously in litigation against them. I mean, that's why he can't talk about it. He's obviously in some kind of legal thing. Wouldn't you say? All right.
Nice isolation there.
I swear to God I didn't have him on to come. I'm the one who booked him. I swear to God that I didn't have him on to hang up on him. I did not. But there comes a point where I'm not playing into this shtick.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich sounds great.
Oh, really?
Less angry. And now, gluten-free.
Well, I can't have that.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa.
good?
I am Troy George. Take a chill pill.
And don't it feel good?
We're A's Mod Rock.
Now whip it into shape. Shape it up. Get it straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good.
Goody to the max.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is the sound of Troy Brown, who may or may not be joining us at 9:20.
I think he is. I think it's been confirmed that he's calling us at 9:20.
It has not been. Okay. There is a caveat.
Oh, unless it changes. He's going to call us unless he doesn't.
Yes. The PR woman said he'd call unless he doesn't.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll have Troy on because we like having him on. But if you've ever doubted the thirst that people have for the NFL right now, just look at the ratings of the 5-0 Cleveland Browns Philadelphia Eagles game. I mean, it was one of the worst games you could possibly sit through, but because it's the Eagles and because, believe it or not, Hard Knocks has got people talking about the Browns, everyone's, you know, Baker Mayfield, I was kind of interested to see how they would do.
I mean, the Browns' defense is pretty decent.
Is it?
Yeah.
This is the year, apparently, for Myles Garrett.
Yeah,
all I've been reading is this is the year he completely breaks out and becomes a wrecker of offense.
Am I misspeaking? I thought that this is supposed to be a decent defense.
I think on paper it is, but just from a guy who's watching Hard Knocks, it seems like no one's trying. The effort isn't there. Oh, we have Troy?
Yeah, we do have Troy.
Okay, very good.
Troy Brown, hello.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And this time we won't ask you about Larry Izzo and in the bathroom.
you filled your gross teammate story.
Plus, it's been supported by many others.
What's going
since
on, Troy
on?
Brown? Little doo-doo and Zolak? How you doing,
what's
man?
Up, I'm good, man. How about you?
Good, buddy. You on with these guys in the morning, huh?
I guess, man.
Yeah, you know I work here. You can come on with us in the midday if you want.
Don't bother.
See you, buddy. Take care of these guys.
Not worth it. Honest to God, Troy, you made the right call.
By the way, I just want you to know that was the sound of a man wearing salmon shorts. And flip-flops.
He just came in and he took off my headphones and just started yelling into the microphone.
He's rocking the Nantucket special this morning.
Yes, he is.
I know, right? That's so like, man. One of a kind dude.
Yes, he is. All right, so...
I just wish you would show his junk more.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
He is known for doing that, Troy.
Well, he was in the past.
Yeah, he was. All right, so were a soundbite for a while because you talked about Dez Bryant and how he doesn't fit, you believe, into what the Patriots are doing right now. You're hearing rumors about Demaryius Thomas, and I think it was Mike Florio who said that that's something that he believes could be a possibility. What do you think about him being here? I know it was Josh McDaniels who drafted him, so that already kind of gives a little bit of reality to the possibility of that happening. How do you think he would fit in coming in and joining the team within the next week or so?
Well, I think that's more of a possibility than Dez Bryant. You know, again, like you mentioned, Josh McDaniels, and Josh drafted the guy. He knows the offense somewhat. Obviously, there's new things that Josh has added to the offense, but he knows Josh and he's familiar with the system. So that helps right there, and he's, you know, a little bit more of a route runner than what Dez Bryant is, especially at this point in his career. You know, the thing I think he would probably mesh pretty good with these guys. His personality is not as big as Dez Bryant's personality. You know, you kind of know what you're going to get if things don't go bad. You know, you're not going to get Demaryius. If things don't go well for him, he's not going to go crazy about not getting the ball or whatever it is. So I think he's probably a better fit for the team than what Dez Bryant would be.
Everyone talks about that chemistry and how tough it is to get with Tom Brady. I mean, there's guys who just don't get it, and then there's guys like you who, you know, just you know, you and Wes and Edelman. What is that process like of earning his trust, and how would you recommend a new player on this team going about doing the best that they can to earn that chemistry with him?
Well, I think it's just the fact that you do the job that they list is to get open and catch the ball. That's the first thing. And then your decision-making. You know, Tom would talk to you about you know, there's places where he doesn't feel comfortable, and you know, things that he really can't see on the backside of things when he's looking to the front side, maybe. And then you kind of got to be his eyes and make good decisions and not lead him into throwing interceptions. So that aspect of it, you're kind of like the quarterback yourself, you know, by making those decisions and not leading them into the horrible mistakes to hurt the team. So he'll talk to you about those things as well. So you got to be able to consistently make those good decisions, especially when you're in the slot. And you might have three-way goals sometimes, and you got to, you know, recognize the defense and see the same thing that he's seeing and make the right decision, because there's certain spots you got to get to when the coverage is a certain thing. So, and if you can consistently do that, then you can earn the respect and trust of Tom Brady.
How many strikes he give you?
Sometimes not very many. It depends on who you are and how long you've been around. So you don't get a whole lot.
Why didn't Eric Decker work here? I mean, obviously the guy's had some success with a couple of NFL teams, and he just didn't seem to get it. What stopped him from getting it?
Well, I think you got to go back to before he came here. I think he got hurt with the Jets. I think he blew his knee out with the Jets and then signed with the Titans the next season. And he just wasn't the same player that he used to be. Not that he was an extremely fast guy when he came out, but you know, you could still see some flashes where he had some quickness. He could run pretty good routes and get open. You know, he was doing a good job of catching the ball out there in Denver. But then sometimes you see those guys get a little injury, like, you know, ACL injury, and then when they come back, they're just not the same player anymore. And they just kind of run out of gas. I think he played, 8 years, which is, you know, not an extremely long time for any player by any means, but they just run out of gas sometimes after those injuries, man. And sometimes they press so hard trying to get back from the injury, they just burn themselves out. And, you know, to me, I just kind of see that being a typical case with Eric Decker. And because he was a tremendous player, you know, up until he got hurt. And I think Denver was sent him to New York, I think what it was, in the trade. So he just ran out of gas, man, and I think that's the reason why it didn't work. And then you see guys start to press and they start to get frustrated a little bit, and they try too hard, and then they start dropping passes that are hitting them right in the hands. And I think that's what you saw with Eric Decker.
All right, does that worry make you a little concerned about Edelman coming back from a big injury at his age?
That makes you concerned about it somewhat. You know, the thing I like about him, he did it like he still had his quickness when he did catch the ball. I know he dropped two passes in the game this past Thursday, but I'm encouraged by him because I do see the quickness still there, and his willingness to get out there and make those jump cuts and explode off both legs. So that's an encouraging sign. You know, I'd like to see him, you know, catch the ball more consistently, but those things happen when you got to remember too, Edelman hadn't played since the Super Bowl in 2017. So it's been a long time since he's had football action.
All right, Troy Brown, out of the guys who aren't named Chris Hogan or Julian Edelman that are left at wide receiver, who do you think has the best chance of actually making it work with the Patriots and Tom Brady?
Let me pull my list out because I can't recall any names.
That's not a good sign.
And that's where we are.
Not a good sign at all.
Well, you know, I'm a huge advocate of not assuming guys can't play because you don't know their name. So,
I'm the opposite.
Don't ever make that mistake of that a guy can't play because you don't know his name. That'd be a huge mistake.
A lot of people didn't know your name at one point. I'm sure that's what
exactly.
Point.
Exactly. Tell me about it. I think they got Philip Dorsett as the third guy right now. I think I'll probably go with Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, not that he's a seasoned and polished receiver, but I have seen signs of him getting better as a receiver since he's been here. You know, when you see the guy, he's huge. I mean, for a guy that moves the way he moves, he's a big receiver. But he can play in the slot a little bit. He's a guy, I think, that if you can get the ball into his hands pretty quickly and let him use his running ability to make some plays, he's a guy that can be an asset for the Patriots. So, out of the guys left on the roster, I like him as that third guy. And then with what they have left, you got to go with Philip Dorsett as the fourth guy. And just kind of let those rest of those guys fall in where they may. You know, if they're able to make the team. I think Braxton Berrios, who hasn't seen any action at all this preseason, think he's a guy. He's probably going to be a guy that's going to end up on the practice squad. I think he has a lot to offer to the Patriots down the line, and I think Riley McCarron might be, you know, back might be on the street. So we'll see.
All right. When you see Belichick being kind of like more mellow and giving guys days off, does it piss you off?
How hard he works, you guys?
Man, that's a little baffling because I know after a preseason game like they had on Thursday, he was his mantra was no days off.
Right. Yeah.
So we had 12 days or 2 days in a row back one of those years. And we had, I think it was 03, and so he didn't let up off the gas at all on us. I mean, that performance on Thursday was not an encouragement. I mean, in their own words, it was that dress rehearsal. And they was with the guys that you're going to assume that they're going to take the field with, you know, on opening day. And they didn't perform very well on either side of the ball.
Now, Troy, there's a theory because of how he's acting so differently and some of the comments he made at the beginning of the year about how he's going to enjoy this season, that people are speculating that this might be his final year. Do you believe that at all? Have you seen any indication that might make you think that he might hang it up after this year?
I haven't. Just the fact that, what was it, last year, a couple years ago, that he made the statement that, you know, he wasn't going to do this forever.
Yeah.
You know, and just that's just about it. I think he's, what, 63 years old now?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm pretty sure he's closer to the end than he is to the middle or the beginning of his career. But, you know, but, yeah, it makes you wonder, you know, when the guys, you know, they're getting days off and after not performing well. I just knew how it was when we were there that, you know, they dropped the hammer on you when you had a performance like that, man. And you knew on the plane ride back, have all the fun you can have on the plane ride, because when you hit the ground in New England, you were going to hit the ground and do a whole lot of work.
What was that day like? Like the first practice after a loss
was,
like that?
Just a lot of meetings. You go in and you watch the film, and he would basically come in and run the film at the beginning of the meeting. Because usually you do those things with your offensive coordinator, position coaches. Y'all watch the film together as offense and defense or whatever separately. But he would run the film, and he would just point out a lot of things that a lot of guys did wrong. And, you know, it could be embarrassing sometimes, you know. You know, asking Willie McGinnis if he called, you know, if I put you at X and you ran and I told you to run an X slant, what would you run? And Willie would say, X-Lan, and he'd be like, no crap, you know? and it would go home from there. So, and then he just kept running the tape of just guys screwing up and guys not, you know, seeming not, like they weren't tough enough, whatever it is. And you probably get about 30, 45 minutes of film from him. And then you go back and you go in with your coaches and correct those, and you go to walk through again, and you come out, and it would be a full padded practice for the most part the next time you stepped on the field. And it would be live, especially if the tackling, if it was the way it was in the game Thursday, it would be, you know, live tackling drills. And that meant offensive guys too were in tackling drills. So, and you know, he would bust you up, man, the next day in practice. So,
Yeah, you got to be looking at this and going, oh, screw you.
Right, when he's up.
He has said to me before that, you know, you could probably play 20 years in the league now. So I'm like, thanks. thanks for kicking my butt for, you know, 8 years.
Right, knocking 7 or 8 years off my career. Yeah.
All right. Troy Brown, well, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
That's great, Troy.
Appreciate it. There you go.
It's amazing too how Troy talks about that and how Tyrod Taylor had to tell Hugh Jackson of the Cleveland Browns to use that kind of method. You know what? Just videotape everything and show him on the video and embarrass him.
Never occurred to him to do that.
It's astounding to me how a head coach doesn't use like the oldest trick in the. I thought every coach did that.
Nope.
You suck on the field. You show it in the film room. You embarrass him in front of everyone. And Tyrod Taylor, a player, had to tell Hugh Jackson how to do that.
Coming from Buffalo, not exactly a first-class organization in the last 10 or 15 years either.
Oh, that is something, man.
All right, we got the stat coming up, Rich. What do we talk about?
Okay, well, the Lithuanian basketball team that LeVar Ball brought his boys to are talking all sorts of crazy crap about him right now. When you're being crap-talked by a Lithuanian basketball team, you know you messed up. Also, it has been scientifically proven when is the worst time for drivers to leave Boston for Memorial or Labor Day weekend. I have that exact time, so you can avoid it.
Sublimus is stupendous. All right, here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack.
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Let's start with the Labor Day thing because I'm going somewhere on Friday.
So
I'm going to Newport.
There has been a study that was done, and this was all based on last year's traffic. And this company determined, first of all, the 10 worst cities to drive in when it comes to Labor Day traffic.
Boston's got to be one of them.
It's within the top 10. As a matter of fact, it's near the worst of the top 10.
Because everyone travels locally.
It is number two. Number one being New York City. Because
they're all going to the Hamptons.
Yep. Yeah. So number two is Boston. And they used some of the GPS readings from last year's Labor Day weekend and determined the absolute worst time to leave to get out of town. And they said, in Boston, there's little chance of avoiding traffic ahead of the holiday weekend. It's probably why so many people choose to leave on Thursday evening at 5 p.m. However, you're probably better off staying the night and leaving early Friday. The alternative spending is 7.04 minutes per mile getting out of town. So, I mean, that sounds awful. Thursday at 5 p.m. is the peak worst time to get out of here.
Dan spent the night in Maine last night.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you didn't have to drive?
I drove back at like 4 o'clock this morning.
Oh, really?
But I was in such denial about coming back to work after being off.
You must have
a cooler in my car. I was going to drag it in with me this morning to make a point that, yeah. Wow. So, it was fine. Driving in, that time, if you can do it.
But this weekend wasn't a bad weekend. It's obviously, everyone goes out of town this weekend.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
so this is the one that's kind of an off one.
A lot of people are already back at school, though, Rich, too, and a lot of kids are in college, so might not be the busiest time to go away.
Because M24, once I get on that, is, unless there's something like tax-free weekend, it's normally moves pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's always fun when you just happen to be driving by the IKEA on a tax-free weekend. Like, oh, that's hell.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like waiting to get into a Patriots game. But getting there just sucks.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Because I know I'm just going to be sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to M24 and it opens up a little bit, but yeah.
Well, the Lithuanian basketball team. Actually, I want to go to your story real quick. So
my story.
Okay. Yeah, because this is on the heels of, you know, I was telling you about how that Cleveland Browns Philadelphia Eagles preseason game in which only 5 points were scored and it was 5-0 at the end of it ended up having the highest preseason rating since 2012 for Fox. I mean, they had a ton of people watching it. For a preseason game, if you get to almost 7 million viewers, that's massive. And that was on like a Thursday night. But so you've got NFL kind of going in one direction, and then you've got, John, what you just told us off the air.
Yeah, Jeff Paston just wrote a story for Yahoo.com about how Major League Baseball is not panicked about it, but there is some deep concern around the league because attendance is off. And for the first time in 15 years, it looks like Major League Baseball is going to fail to exceed $70 million fans paid tickets across the league.
And it's their fault because they've allowed organizations like the Marlins to get completely out of control.
Yeah, the Marlins, and that's one of the examples that Paston states. The Marlins' attendance is off by 50% this year.
Yeah.
Toronto is off 10,000 because of what they've done to that franchise. They didn't spend any money in free agency. And think about it. We've said it multiple times. Major League Baseball is very top-heavy and bottom-heavy for the first time in a long time. Yeah. So teams like Baltimore are getting fans with bags over their heads, but they're only getting about 6,000 fans if Boston and New York aren't in town.
Well, just as bad of a problem is when you have a good team that still can't draw people, like the Cleveland Indians. Like, that's a team that's obviously playing very well, and from what I hear, they hardly sell out any games.
Kansas City and Detroit are off 6,000 fans per game each. I mean, it matters.
Yeah.
It matters. So because you have so few teams
that are any good,
especially in the American League, attendance is going to be off all over the place.
And there's a huge problem too. And this isn't, you know, this is, everyone knows this, is that there's no superstars anymore. There's no guys that when they come as a visiting team, you get excited to see. And I know that obviously the commissioner gave Mike Trout a lot of crap for, you know, but I could see if you're the commissioner, maybe not saying it out loud, but being frustrated that one of the best players in baseball isn't doing really much of anything to market himself.
See, I think Trout's a star.
He's a superstar. He's the best player on the planet.
He's not.
But he's not outspoken. He's not like Charles Barkley.
He's not doing Doritos commercials. But I think, you know,
Subway commercials.
But I think that if, I think people buy tickets to see Trout.
I think.
It could
be
bigger.
What Major League Baseball thinks and Rob Manfred's pissed at is that he's not outspoken drawing more fans.
Well, does he have the same...
Baseball needs all the fans that they can get at this point.
Then hire a stand-up comic to do...
does he have the same effect that LeBron James has when he comes in town?
No.
No. Well, does he have the same effect that Aaron Rodgers has when he comes in town?
LeBron James is a...
He's controversial. And he's a generational player. I think Trout could be that guy. I think Trout's that good. He's a great defensive player.
No, I understand that, but Aaron Rodgers, like just going to a game to see Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I would pay to see. Hell yeah, the Packers come to town? That's a game you want to go to. That's a hot ticket.
I would agree.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, almost every other sport you can think of. Oh, I don't know why Crosby comes to town. I want to see that game.
Well, it's a combination of things.
Trout's a bigger star than Crosby.
Aaron Rodgers is
I don't know about that.
Who's a bigger star than
Trout?
Than Sidney Crosby? Nope. I disagree with that.
Not he plays yet. A game that's much more popular.
Well, you could say that, but he's had his face out there. More people would know the name they would know the name Sidney Crosby than Mike Trout, I believe. If you showed a picture of the two of them, you could probably one would be more recognizable than the other. Without a doubt. And that also has to do with the amount of years they've been
popular.
It's a fact. Part of it is Major League Baseball isn't as popular as the National Football League. Just getting back to the Rodgers argument. Rodgers is a star in a league that's obscenely popular.
I don't know why. But
I think people who go, Trout is a star in a sport that is third now behind basketball?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a big difference.
That's a good question. So, would you say that the most recognizable hockey player right now is Alexander Ovechkin?
No, I'd say...
Would you say it's Sidney Crosby?
It's Crosby.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. If you took a picture of Sidney Crosby out to Middle America and Mike Trout, who do you think would be more recognizable?
Mike Trout. Because
I don't know.
There's
about
a lot
that.
Of part of the country that don't care about hockey.
I understand that, but even people who don't really know hockey might know Sidney Crosby.
If you took it to Iowa, it's probably Mike Trout. Mike Trout. Yes, I would agree with that. Worldwide? Maybe Crosby.
Oh, worldwide, of course. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, pay attention to the NHL because of all the
Olympics
players.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you go to Japan and if you go to Asia, I mean, they're going to know who Mike Trout is because baseball is king.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who can say?
Who can say?
In this crazy world.
Well, if you look at the box office from over the weekend, we got one of those films that's going to be a sensation. Crazy Rich Asians comes in at number 2 for the second week in a row with $25 million. You know what that is? That's the new Big Fat Greek Wedding movie. That's going to be the one that everyone's going to talk about. It's going to grow buzz, and it's going to be up for a million awards, and that's it. Because when you drop 5% from week 1 to week 2... that means people are talking about it. So you got that. The Meg is making $1 zillion. That movie about a giant dumb shark.
No idea.
$105 million.
Shark.
It's
great book too.
It's like the worst name for a movie.
Well, it's a megalodon. Come on, the Meg. And don't you want to hear Jason Statham say it a million times?
Jason Statham.
Watch out for the Meg.
I guess I'm just really dumb because I don't know what a megalodon is off the top of my head.
Megalodon. Megalodon is something you run. So you've got the Happy Time Murders, which no one's seeing, that came in at number 3.
It's a little hard conceptually, it's a little hard to figure out.
I also heard it's really bad. Mission Impossible Fallout, which was excellent, comes in at number 4 with $193 million total. And Black Klansman, which is a movie I heard is excellent, which I want to see. That's way down at number 8. So there you go. There's your movie. Mile 22 continues to bomb, which I find... kind of heartwarming, to be quite honest. Because I just looked awful. Oh, my God. There's got to be some point where you just don't go see a movie because Mark Wahlberg's in it. You have to actually hold him to a standard of quality filmmaking, and this does not look like it.
All right, we'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.